Today's scripture reading comes from Mark, chapter 14, verses 32 to 42. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took with him Peter and James and John, and began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake." And going a little further, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, "Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want." He came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
That is indeed the word of God. Thank you, Father, indeed, for the reading, for the hearing, for the understanding of this most holy and sacred word. Let us pray. Father, open our minds and our hearts that we may hear you through this word. Thank you. In Christ's name, we thank you. Amen. Well, my dear friends, I think all of you who know me know that one of my favorite comic strips is Charles Schulz's Peanuts, featuring good old Charlie Brown. So I want to open a little story about Charlie. I want to give you this setting, if I might. This is one of my favorites. It's at the house. I have it on a bulletin board. I cut it out years ago, and I do love it. Charlie Brown and Peppermint Patty. They are sitting back to back. They're leaning against a tree on a beautiful day, and Peppermint Patty says, "Chuck, what do you think security is?" Charlie Brown says, "Security. Security is sleeping in the back seat of the car when you're a little kid and you've been somewhere with mom and dad and it's nighttime and you're riding in the car. And you can sleep in the back seat. And you don't have to worry about a thing. Your mom and dad are in the front. They're doing all the worrying and caring for us. They take care of everything." Pep and Patty smiles and she says, "That's real neat, Chuck. That's really neat." But then Charlie Brown begins to get this serious look on his face. And he puts his fingers, index finger up, and he says, "But it doesn't last. It doesn't last. It doesn't last." Suddenly, you're grown up. And it can never be that way again. So suddenly, it's over. And you don't get to sleep in the back seat of the car anymore. Never. Peppermint Patty gets a sad and frightened look on her face. And she says, never. And Charlie Brown says, never. Then stricken with the tough realities and the difficulties of life, Peppermint Patty says, hold my hand, Chuck. Hold my hand. I love that story. I see it quite often. Have you ever felt squeezed in with the tough realities and the difficulties of life? Chances are yes. Chances are yes. We all feel closed in at one time or another. And like Peppermint Patty, we want to reach out. Somebody hold my hand. Hold my hand, Chuck. Indeed. The experience, the experience is especially sharp on a personal level. Maybe someone's seriously ill in your family, someone you love, and we do everything for them that we can, and we hope and pray that they will get well, but maybe not. And things happen to us. Sometimes we feel like our world is coming to an end. Sometimes we hope for something, and it never happened. Perhaps my friends, somebody that we love very much doesn't love us anymore. So sad, so sad, you know. Think about what we're going through in our communities today. Just think. I mean, you're at home and you know, and we need to wear these masks. We need to have social distancing. We need to wash our hands. We know all those things. But, this pandemic has really squeezed us in. It's really put stress. You hear that hiss and the word stress. It's really done that to us, you know. And we have divisions in our country. The news is tough to watch, isn't it? So many divisions, protest, riot. It's just we feel squeezed in. Well, I want to tell you, our Lord Jesus Christ felt that. He was squeezed in on that last night before he was to die. He also knew that his disciples would have a similar experience when he was crucified. They would really feel squeezed in. You know, however, the experience of life closing in is not always a matter of externals. Sometimes what plays havoc in our lives are our own personal regrets, guilt, and sins, which, by the way, folks, we need to turn that over to God. Amen. Don't just keep dragging it all through life, you know. But sometimes we don't feel that we're worthy even to pray. But don't ever feel that way. God's a dad. He's a father. He wants to hear you. Come talk to him. Indeed. Hold my hand. Hold my hand. Interestingly, our greatest help, I believe, comes from the one who's been there. He's been there. He lived among us. Indeed. He's been there. Not surprising. Indeed. It's also one who loves you deeply. Loves you deeply. If you don't learn anything else about the gospel, please learn that. He loves you deeply. And me and all of us. Now, he's not pleased with some things I do and think and act, but he so desires for me to have the abundant life. Indeed. So, you know, I believe our greatest help comes from our God in Christ, We've come to know Him in Christ in a very special, unique way. And I believe the good news of our faith is that we have someone to hold our hand. Hold my hand. Jesus Christ came into the world to save us, to redeem us, to deliver us, to strengthen us, and to tell us that we're not alone. You're not by yourself. You're not alone. And we don't have to face the hard demands of life by ourselves. He is with us, holding our hand and healing our hurts. He calls us, dear ones, to follow Him. That's one of the great teachings of Jesus. Follow me. He often said that. You read it all through the gospel. To be like Him, that's the call. Well, today, let's follow Him for a few moments. Let's follow Him. As He squeezed in, Jesus is squeezed in. I mean, He is really squeezed in. And with the tough realities of the heartaches and the difficulties of life, let's follow. Let's see what He did. Let's see what He did with this being squeezed in. And let's consider following Him and following His ways. Well, He's in the upper room. That's just where they start. The picture you see is in Gethsemane. And we go into Gethsemane in just a minute because that is really where He was sweating. But before that, He's in the upper room. And He's gathered about His dear friends, those that followed Him. And look, this night, He knew things were how they were going to be. It wasn't going to change. And He wasn't going to change. He was not going to change His values, nor His love. He also knew His disciples pretty well. He knew they'd be squeezed in. He even knew they would disappoint Him and themselves. He told Simon Peter, you know, He told Peter, you know this. He said, you're going to deny me three times. Peter said, no, I'll never do that. Yes, you will. And poor Judas. Poor Judas. He never heard the end of the story. Judas never heard the end of the story. You know, he was squeezed in as well. It was dark, you know. And Jesus, God, so many things I think He wanted. He wanted Judas to hear the end of the story. But He didn't. There's a sadness there. There's a sadness. There's a squeezing in there, my friends. Oh, my good. Dear ones, here's a young man, our Lord Jesus Christ. He's 33 years old. Think about that. He's 33 years old. And he's struggling with life and trying to make some sense out of what's going on here himself. That's the human side of him working, you know. He must have thought, you know what he thought? I think he thought, I have loved them. I have loved them. And look what they're doing. Things didn't happen the way he wanted that love to go into everybody. Oh, he was squeezed in. What do you do when you're squeezed in, church? Hey, folks, what do you do when you're squeezed in? Well, there's some options. You can fight back, right? To fight the good fight of faith, to be persistent, to be tenacious. That's admirable. God, I love you for that. Give it the good fight. But often it's not enough. It's not enough. Well, we could give up. Hey, how about giving up? Quit. I've had it. I'm out of here. Sometimes that temporary feeling comes to us, you know. But we don't want to do that. You don't want to surrender. No. We could laugh it off. I think humor is very good. Humor is a wonderful thing. I love a good sense of humor, especially when we take ourselves too seriously. But it's often not enough. It's not enough. It doesn't go deep into our hearts. We could get agitated. We could get overwrought. Dangerous thing to get agitated and overwrought. Because we'll do and say things we got to live with. And we end up regretting. I wish I hadn't said that. We get overwrought, you know. Sometimes, I will never, dear ones, I will never in my life forget this. There was a young teenage boy, got overwrought, stressed and squeezed. And he was really agitated, and he got behind the wheel of an automobile that went way too fast, and he didn't make a curve. I will always remember that. Bless his heart. Friends, we can do more. We can do more in a desperate situation than fight back, more than surrender, more than laugh it off, and more than becoming hysterical or agitated. What'd Jesus do? What'd Jesus do when life closed in? It's interesting to note that the Gospels outline the steps he took. Maybe we ought to take those steps. What do you think? You're a smart group. You're a smart family. What do you think? Maybe we ought to take these steps. What did he do in Gethsemane? Let's go to Gethsemane. There's where he was sweating. Indeed. First of all, did you notice what he did? He took his friends with him. I love that. He took his friends with him. That makes sense to me. When we're desperate, we need to be with people. We need to be with family, friends, dear ones who love us, who know us, who accept us. We need people who look at us and say, hey, Harry, you okay? You okay? We need people that care. That's it. And he went deeper into the garden, and he took Peter and James and John, even the closest, the inner circle, so to speak, of that group. And in facing the cross and the pain of his mission, he took with him these dear, dear people. And by his example, I believe that Jesus shows us that when things are darkest and life closes in, we got to have folks. We got to have people. We got to have dear ones who love us and people who know us and people who support us. Oh, my goodness. When we lose a loved one, people come to us and there's no magic words in there. It's just there. And they may come up to you and just burst into tears, and those tears speak volumes. You know, life closes in. We need folks. We need people. I hope this pandemic finally, we get a cure for this. The Lord will take care of us. And we can all get back in here again. We need our church family as well. We need our Sunday schools and the fellowship time. We need each other. Oh, my goodness gracious. We're given to one another. Isn't that interesting? You know, when you join the church, you get everybody else. Family. We're all family. That's who we are. That's who we are. We need each other. Jesus took his friends. Indeed. Second thing he did is he prayed. Well, that doesn't surprise you, does it? Certainly doesn't surprise us. What about Jesus praying? Think about that. The mystery of the Trinity, that we have known God as the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. To me, it's the human part of Jesus praying to the divine in him. He's praying, you know, and that doesn't surprise us, you know. I hear people say sometimes, you know, I don't feel like I'm qualified to talk to God or whatever. No, don't ever feel that way. Prayer comes from the heart. It's heard because it's offered. You're a child. You go sit in Dad's lap. He wants to hear that. And there's another thing to remember about prayer. It doesn't have to be formal words. You know, we said the Lord's Prayer. It's a great prayer, isn't it? It covers everything. It covers so much. But we don't have to use formal words. It's what lies in the heart. Even sometime before we offer a prayer. You know what Peter's prayer was when he was sinking? Lord, save me. That's not a bad prayer. Hey, one of the best prayers I know is one word. Help. Help. Indeed. You know, maybe we're thinking things in our hearts and our lives, and we're going through all these scenarios of thinking about different things, and then we'll say to ourselves, you know, I need to pray about this. That's what you've been doing. Because what's going on in your mind and your heart, you are praying. And then Jesus prayed like this, Father, if it possible, let this cup pass. Can we do this another way? That's the human part coming out, praying to the divine, you know. And we can picture how he prayed. He was sweating. The scriptures say sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. He was grappling with this. Oh, God, if it's possible, let this thing pass from me. He was praying for release. All of us pray when we're hurt, indeed, whether we're aware of it or not. The language, like I said, doesn't matter. You know, it's the desire, it's the intent. Life closes in, and we're hurt, and we pray, thinking, wanting, trying to communicate with God. So pray, talk to God. And then he said, when he got alone with God, and that's the third thing he did. First with his friend, second he prayed, third, he, him, and God are alone. And this is what he said, yet, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Powerful, powerful prayer, indeed. Well, that's a pattern, I think, that we can follow. Jesus went from his friendships to prayer to being alone with God. Those three steps, I think we need to take those steps when life closes in on us. Ultimately, dear ones, everyone reaches that point. Everyone, I think, you know. Our Lord himself got there to that point. And faith does not exempt us, does it, from the experience of life closing in. Rather, it leads us by Jesus' example to the ultimate resting place. And that's the hand of God, indeed. Here's a young Galilean, he's 33 years old, and he responded to his pain and his this extremity, not by lashing out, not by giving up, not by laughing it off. He responded by taking with him the ones he loved and going to pray. His disciples slipped away. And he prayed alone. He moved inside the recesses of his own life and was alone with God. With all that he knew, if Jesus followed that path, when life closes in, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we? I'm firmly convinced, dear family, that Jesus kneeling in Gethsemane realized his fear would never yield to rational thought processes. So he did something that was quite simple and quite remarkable. He reached out to the Father's hand. And he never let go through the whole ugly ordeal. Never let go. And on the cross, at the very moment, he was to face humankind's most dreaded enemy. He cried, Abba, which Aramaic means daddy. Then darkness could not overwhelm him, could not do it. Indeed, he conquered so completely that his last prayer, and you know it well, was like a little child laying his head down in daddy's lap. And he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When we put our hands in the hand of God, he'll make the shadows stand still. Hold my hand. I know we can't do that physically, church. I know we can't touch each other. I miss that. I miss shaking your hand, giving you a hug, telling you hello. We can't do that right now. We got to stay 6 foot apart. I understand that. And we have to wear a mask. But there are other ways, until we get back to that, that we can hold hand, indeed, with good friends. Phone call? How you doing on phone call? Pick it up. Call someone. Say, hey, how you doing? You don't stay long. They'll love it. And you'll love it. You'll love it. How about an email? How about a card? How about a letter? How about telling folks how you feel? How about sharing with them? Hold my hand. Good friends will. Good friends will. And God will. Ask Him. Show up for worship when we get back to this. But now we're at home. You didn't worship at home. Indeed. Ask Him. Ask Him. And dear friends, He will. That's the promise of the Scripture. Hold my hand. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being the family. Thank you for the friendship. Thank you for the love. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for our time together here. We pray we've used it well in all things. And as we go out into this day and into this week, we pray we'll use it well again and again. And we lift up and put forth our hand, Father, reaching for our dear friends who reach for us and reaching for your touch and thanking you for your touch always in Christ's name. Amen.